ABQ Connect with Jim Williams.
Welcome to ABQ Connect, presented by Bosby Home Services. Carlos and his team provide heating, cooling, plumbing, roofing, and restoration services. Call 444-7200. Bosby Home Services, locally grown, locally owned. Welcome into ABQ Connect, my good friends Lon Perry and Jim Murphy. Here in the studio with us, we're going to be joined by Brian Joyce. He's the new head basketball coach at La Cueva High School in about 10 minutes or so. Gentlemen, welcome.
Hey, Jim.
Thanks, Jim. Great to be here.
Last time we were together in studio, we were talking about the fact that sports had not yet been approved. I guess the private schools, Hope Christian being one, had kind of set up kind of a, I don't want to call it makeshift. You put together a whole schedule, and you were getting ready to play, but then APS a week or so after we met, and that's what we're going to talk about today. We're going to talk about how wonderful it is to be back in action. Jim, you've been able to start working outside of the so-called pods. Tell us a little bit about how your workouts are going.
Yeah, it's great. Finally these kids are getting to play. We're getting up and down the floor. You know, kids love the scrimmage, and so we're, you know, pretty much back to normal in both all our sports. You know, soccer, I had a big game yesterday, boys and girls, and watched them on the field playing. Our football team has played a couple games, and it's just exciting. Sports are back. Of course, we have some new COVID regulations that are, you know, somewhat inconvenient, but the kids are just happy to be on the field.
Now, as the athletic director, in addition to the men's basketball coach, I hate using boys basketball coach. These are men. Let's change that. The women's basketball coach, too. They're not girls. You know, I don't know. That's just my own thing. They call them men's in college and boys and girls in high school. I don't get it. But, Jim, tell us about the other sports teams. Are you able to keep track of all the rules and regulations and what you have to do and keeping people safe?
Yeah, you've seen the pros and you've seen the college games, and we've got some of those same things. Of course, you know, I'll be honest with you, some of them I feel are out in left field. I don't totally understand why we're doing some of the things. But, you know, we had a volleyball game Saturday against Albuquerque Academy. And every day, every change of point there, take the ball out and they got to wipe it down. Before that, they're practicing with the balls. They're hitting it back and forth and so forth. The girls get real close to each other, but then when they go to the bench, they got to sit down 6 feet away from each other. So it's been kind of unique. Right now, because of our county and our color, we're not allowed any fans in the indoor sports, but the outdoor sports, it is open. We have 25% outdoor sports. So we're moving in the right direction. Hopefully more things will open up. I'm just hoping that these fans can get to come watch their kids play in the indoor sports.
Yeah, I think it's really important as a parent, too. I should remind our listeners, Jim is a regular contributor to this program. He's the athletic director and the head boys basketball coach at Hope Christian. Lon Perry's been a longtime assistant to him, and he's also the parent of a young man that is a freshman at Hope Christian and playing basketball. Is he playing on the JV this year?
Yes, he's definitely on the JV.
He definitely is better than his dad. I'm just teasing.
All my kids were.
Hey, he's gotten so tall because I had a chance to see Noah for the first time in probably 5 or 6 months.
Yeah, we really want to thank you tall. For coming in and giving us a different voice on that.
I've been missing because part of the regulations are you had to work out the kids just in pods, one coach for every, four students so. So, Lon, I understand, correct me, but I understand that at Hope Christian, for example, you might have a young man playing in a football game in the morning, and then he might be able to play in a basketball game in the afternoon and then maybe run track a little the next day. Is that what's happening?
Well, that's pretty typical for Hope, but still, I have one on the JV. You know, he's a Anton, and he loves both sports, and so he's doing his best. My son is trying to help out the soccer team because they just didn't have enough. And so he's running back and forth, and he had a game last night actually in the snowstorm. It was a blizzard, and so the kids are doing what they can, and but like Coach said, it's exciting. I don't even really care about soccer. That's not really an American sport in my book. But my son is out there. He's trying to help out the coach. He's trying to help field the team.
That's Lon Perry, former New Mexico State Aggie. I'll give you his number at the end, his email. That'll be great. I love the fact that you're about to get all these emails.
Yeah, Lon. Sure. I've coached it too, but it's just, you know, basketball is America's sport, you know.
But I think what you just described is kind of fun. Man, if I was a kid and I got to play in a football game on Saturday, morning and maybe a basketball game on Saturday afternoon or evening, and then I got to play soccer, you know, either Friday or Monday, that'd be kind of exciting. It'd be a lot of work.
Yep, it is.
But it could definitely be draining on you. I want to mention to our listeners, we're going to be joined by Brian Joyce. He's the new head basketball coach at La Cueva High School. He's going to be here in about 5 or 10 minutes, and we'll bring him into the studio with us as soon as he arrives. And it's going to be fun to I've seen Brian play basketball as a high school student. And, of course, his grandfather, the famous Frank Joyce, was a very famous broadcaster here in New Mexico for many years when I was growing up. And one of the things that I always wanted to be was like Frank Joyce. He had this really deep voice. I really loved the guy. So I'm anxious to talk to Brian about that. Jim, let's talk a little bit about you've been a coach for how long now at Hope? 20?
Yeah, I hate to say it, Jim, but it's just my 39th year at Hope Christian School.
39th?
39th year, yeah.
And you've won a few state championships.
We have. We've had some success.
What's changed in 39 years? Is the game totally different? Are the people totally different? What's changed?
Basketball is still basketball. Kids are still kids. So some things are still the same, without a doubt. But I think, you know, sometimes how you handle the kids today, you know, the hard-nosed coach can still exist. But, some of the kids maybe not as receptive to that style that that we probably all grew up in. I think the kids can handle it, but there are a few kids that it makes it a little tougher. Of course, technology has become a big part of the game that, that I'm not really great at, but, you know, videotaping and analysis and statistics and all those things are a big part of the game these days too. So technology is part of it. And of course, now with the COVID, it's even that this year's a crazy year as far as those things, but the game, you know, you still got to put the ball in the hole. You still got to be in shape, and you still got to have the fundamentals. So a lot of things are still the same, and kids need instructions, and kids love to play. And I think those things are still the same.
Well, I'll tell you what's changed for him. I'm slowing him down the last few years.
You're slowing
him
down?
Yeah, he'll tell everybody I slow him down.
But you're the head assistant, man. You're the guy, you know, you're the guy whispering in his ear and saying, hey, do this and that. By the way, do you guys get along well, or do you ever want to smack him, Jim, and say, sit down, Alon?
Well, yeah, I'll say I'll pass on that comment.
Come to any game, you'll see him start to smack me down.
Well, you have both spent a lot of time, though, coaching together. I know you're good friends in addition to working together. You have a like-mindedness spiritually and basketball minds that are really similar. We are absolutely excited to see kids getting back to playing, and it's going to be a lot of fun. Jim, I want to have you tell us real quickly, what is it that Lon, he's been working with you for a long time. What do you depend on him for?
Well, you know, it's just great to have an assistant. Like the other day we had our, we had practice going on. And we had our rules clinic. And so basically I said, Lon, run the show. I'm not going to be there because I got to be at this rules clinic. So, you know, just I think for the years we've been together, you know, he knows kind of what I like to do. And he gives input during the game. But, you know, it's kind of like a good marriage, I guess. You know, when things work well. But I'm sure there's times he doesn't always agree. But I will give Coach Lon a lot of credit. He is willing to be very supportive of me as a head coach. He may not always agree, but I've never felt for one minute that he didn't back me. And, he's always been there, not only as a good friend, but as a great assistant coach. And sometimes to be a servant, you know, sometimes everyone wants to be the head coach, and Lon's a tremendous servant. Not only to me, but, you know, you could ask the kids. He serves those kids in a lot of ways. So he's a great servant.
Lon, how have the athletes changed? Are our athletes in high school now faster, quicker, stronger than they were 20 years ago?
Well, I think that you just look at all across the board, they all have to be stronger. Mm-hmm. I mean, you know, take my son again. I mean, that's all he focuses on, but he just looks and he sees the way that the game is progressing, and it's strength. You know, it used to be touch and skill, and now it's strength, touch, and skill, and it's you got to be strong to hang on to the ball in today's game.
Yeah.
But I think there's something in the water. We don't have it at Hope Christian. We're still a bunch of Boy Scouts there. But if you look over at La Cueva, you know, you see a lot of guys with some strength and some muscle of that part of the city.
Speaking of La Cueva, we are joined by Brian Joyce, the new head basketball coach at La Cueva. Hi, Brian.
Hello. Thanks for having me.
I'm glad to see you. But I don't like interviewing guys like you, Brian, because it makes me feel really old, because I was watching you play when you were 14 years right. old, my friend. And you've had a neat career yet. You played at La Cueva, played for Frank. You're now replacing Frank Castillo, the famous Frank Castillo. After 34 years, you're only the second head basketball coach. Are you excited?
Absolutely. It's a privilege.
Have you been able to do the pod workouts and all of those things, and now you're going full blast, getting ready to play?
We did the best job we could with those pods. It was a little unique because everything kept changing. We started, stopped. You know, we're together, then we weren't. It's just been an adjustment. You can't coach the same way this year. It's not in the coaching handbook. It's not in the coaching experience book. So you can't even refer back to any of your mentors about it, because they don't have the answers. And you can see that in college basketball in particular. Some of the blue blood programs have struggled just like any of us. Mm-hmm. So it's not normal. And I think your ability to adapt and, you know, your kids to be able to adapt and be resilient is a reason why you can keep going. But I'm just excited to be in the gym again.
When do you start playing your games, Brian?
They haven't told us yet, but I think the 27th, 28th is the date that we can.
Okay.
But you know this, I mean, everything's been flexible this year. So whatever they say might happen, they really mean it might happen. I mean, yeah. It doesn't mean it's going to happen. You know, in athletics, it's so definitive. Season starts, practice start. You're so used to starting practice, ending practice, being on a clock. And I feel like sometimes we're running. It's like we came out for warm-ups, and then they just kept going. And then they said, hey, you can't keep warming up. Go back into the locker room. Oh, don't stay in the locker room. Go home. Wait, come back for a warm-up. And then so the guys get amped up. We get amped up, and then you can't get going. So that's when they project it, whether that is final or not. We haven't got a final schedule yet.
Well, of course, La Cueva is a public school. Hope is a private school. You've been in session the entire fall semester, Jim. So your routine is probably a little bit easier to manage than what Brian has. Brian, what's the schedule that your students are on now at La Cueva?
Well, they've been at home.
Okay.
I mean, so they're
so are they still in virtual learning kind of stuff?
Yes, same thing. And my daughter actually goes to school at La Cueva. My wife teaches there. And so, you know, at different times, I'll be doing a basketball class at the house, and my daughter will be taking a class, and my wife's teaching a class in the other room. And so if you could actually hear everything going on, which my daughter gives the best, you know, example of crazy, you know, and uncertainty right now when she's trying to take history and my wife's trying to teach her class, and then I'm in there talking over everybody about defensive philosophy, you know, what we're going to do and how we're going to do it. And so that's what our kids are dealing with. So they're just taking class by class. And then at the end of the day, you know, we hope to have a workout, and then that's what we've been doing. And I've had a basketball class the whole time.
Yeah.
So that's been different, teaching class online.
Yeah. That
for basketball. I've taught online for a while at different places, but to teach basketball online is a completely different scenario.
Now, we've heard about in professional and even college sports, they've developed these bubbles. No real way to do that in high school. So, Jim, what are the testing protocols now, and what happens if somebody tests positive? What does that do to your season?
Yeah, I mean, we've started fall sports, and I know a number of schools have shut down for, it's 10 days now, I guess, with the Department of Health. And so a couple of programs have shut down. We've been fortunate. We haven't had to cancel any of our games so far. Everybody we've played, everyone's got their own protocol. We test, are we supposed to take temperatures and do the guidelines before we go to an event? So we do that. Some places ask you to do it again when they get there. So far, you know, knock on wood, we've been very successful having our couple football games, soccer and volleyball go off without a hitch. But I do know, you know, Sally Marcus has mentioned that, you know, a couple of schools have shut down for 10 days. And so those games are either going to be rescheduled or not played at all, depending on, you know, the school situation, district, and all that.
I'm in studio with Brian Joyce. He's the new La Cueva head boys basketball coach, Jim Murphy and Lon Perry at Hope Christian School. We'll be back after these messages. Stay with us on ABQ. Since 1970, Albuquerque Christian Children's Home has been providing a loving environment for children who are homeless, hurting, or at risk through no fault of their own. We accept these children without regard to their race, religion, culture, or social status, and care for them without any cost to a family member or the state. Our goal is always to show them the love of God through the care and dedication of the staff. For more information, go to our website, acch4kids.org, or call 898-5520.
Gonstead Physical Medicine specializes in the diagnosis and treatment of spinal ligament injury, pain in your back, neck, shoulders, arms, and legs, as well as numbness in your extremities, dizziness, and bladder or bowel issues can all be symptoms. 90% of doctors treating spinal ligament injuries don't know how to determine the severity and location of this condition. At Gonstead Physical Medicine, all of the providers are trained to do this. Schedule a consultation today at gonstead-nm.com or 505-884-8584.
I'm Rob Sneed, General Manager at Power Ford. If you're tired of old school gimmicks and games while shopping for a new car, then experience something new school at Power Ford. You'll get none of the hocus pocus, hokey-pokey stuff the other guys try to pull. So here's the deal. We'll beat any new Ford deal in New Mexico, or we'll put $1,000 cash in your pocket. Come see why others rated us Best of the City and Ford Dealer of the Year. Find your ride at mypowerford.com, or come see us. We're on the affordable side of Albuquerque, on Montaña, west of I-25.
Call 888-243-8183 for details.
This is John MacArthur with more Portraits of Grace. In the days of first century Rome, a father would sometimes adopt a young man to be his primary heir if he considered his own natural sons unworthy of that honor. And the adopted son would then receive the rights and privileges of the family's inheritance. In the same way, you need more than natural birth to become members of God's family and inherit the glories of His promises. You become God's adopted child when He sovereignly chooses you, when He saves you, grants you spiritual rebirth. Then you become not just a child, but an heir of God, and a joint heir with Jesus Christ. What an amazing honor and privilege that is. That's part of what makes you a portrait of God's amazing grace.
You're listening to KNKT. Welcome back to ABQ Connect with Jim Williams.
The team at Indigo Mortgage will give you a clear and concise loan estimate when you're looking for a new mortgage loan, maybe to buy a home or refinance. The team at Indigo Mortgage will explain how you can reduce your fees while getting the best interest rate possible. Call 836-5700 or reach them on the web at indigomortgage.net. Indigo Mortgage, because nobody cares more about your mortgage loan. The four of us in this room are so glad for even ourselves that the kids are back to playing. I'm in studio with Brian Joyce. He's the head boys basketball coach at La Cueva High School. Jim Murphy, the head coach at Hope Christian, and Lon Perry, his assistant. Jim's also an athletic director. And Jim, you just told us off the air there was some new news about there's not only going to be a regular season, but also maybe some state championships.
News release is going to be let out, I guess, today from Sally Marcus at NMA that they are going to – we got permission from the governor's office that we can have postseason tournaments, state tournaments. So I know right now for the fall, volleyball, soccer, and cross country, they're excited. I saw my cross country coach said, yeah, you know, so he's excited. We have a good cross country team this year. And so hopefully things stay open. And but, you know, everyone wants to play for something. And, of course – you know, Sally's all years said it's not about the blue trophy. It's not about the blue trophy. But, you know, there's something to shoot for. These kids want to shoot for something. Coaches always want to shoot for something. And so to have postseason state tournaments, we're excited about that.
All right. She's going to be mad at me, but I don't care. Sally Marcus, when she was competing at Manzano High School, it was all about the blue trophies. Okay, Sally. I'm just telling you. Yeah, Sally Marcus was... Yeah. The number one competitive woman in this state playing hoops and running track.
It's the same with Coach Murphy. If he doesn't get a blue, he sends it to my garage. I've got a couple of green and red ones in there.
Sally was my math teacher, by the way. Yes. So she has a high expectation.
Brian, when did you play at La Cueva?
I graduated in 91.
What's changed with kids? I mean, you played in New Mexico, then you left New Mexico. You've been college coaching. You played at Liberty and then were a college coach for a number of years. Now you've come back, and did you expect something of your players that they're not, or are they maybe farther advanced than you might have been when you were playing?
First of all, I didn't play at Liberty. I played at a junior college in Colorado. Oh. Then I played at Idaho State University.
Oh, okay. Okay.
And I finished at Oklahoma Christian. But I did coach at Liberty.
Oh, I was a college, coached at Liberty.
Yeah, I was
okay.
a college coach in college athletics for 19 years. And so, you know, people have said that over the years, and I'm one of those old school guys like Coach Murphy. I was brought up by all these old school guys. And people have said these kids have changed in a lot of ways. And I'm not sure I agree with that. I think the parents have changed. That's what I think. Because and I'm not saying that's a good or bad thing. It just means that, with the parent involvement, they question a little bit more how a coach mentors or coaches a kid. And so as a result, and some of that's probably good because we've seen some things be revealed about, you know, some coaches who've maybe coached with, you know, ulterior motive or with a coaching tactic that maybe wasn't appropriate. And I think that probably came out of that military background that whole group grew up with. And so it probably needed to be toned down a little bit more because, you know, whether you like it or not as a coach, you're going to impact a kid. You just make a choice whether it's going to be a good influence or a bad influence on them. And so I don't know that the kids have necessarily changed. I just think that the whole process by which they're being mentored, parented, and then therefore as a result coached, is changed. And I think when you coach a kid and you reach them, you can have the same impact that you had, you know, 20 some years ago. And I think at that point when you couldn't reach those kids, you can have an impact on them then. So I don't really think that the kids have changed necessarily much. I think the game's changed, but I don't know that necessarily the kids are once you reach them.
Is the game faster now?
I don't know. That's interesting you say because I'm having some challenges adjusting to not having a shot clock. Right. But I know when I first started out, I joked with our players when we were in the gym and I said, I think you guys don't understand the privilege of being in this gym because I was in here when there were no banners. Coach Castillo went 1-24 or 1-25 his first year, 10-14 the second. Then we were 25-1 when I was there. And
you put one of those banners.
And there's
right
no
there.
Question. It was one of the first, but it was interesting trying to communicate to them the privilege it was to be there now that you have this. And then I joked about it, which goes to your point about the game changing is I said, I was actually in this gym when there was no 3-point line. And I remember playing and we were competing as an eighth grade all-star team against some of the La Cueva kids with no 3-point line. And I had the video somewhere where it made the court look like it was naked or something. I mean, it was odd just looking at the court because how long's that been? So I think the 3-point line changed how you play. It changed how kids worked. It changed how they developed. You know, those kind of things. And so as a result, that's what impacted the game. I don't know that it just got faster. And then you throw in the shot clock, it changed that in college basketball. In my first year in college, it was a 45-second shot clock. And then the second year, it went to 35. And then now it's, you know, where it was. And then the 3-point line changing locations and stuff like that. So I don't know that it's faster. I think the coaches today accept that kind of play different because those old school guys, they wouldn't let you shoot from 25 feet. They'd make you pass it.
I say hallelujah yeah. because big guys used to get the ball back in the old
yeah,
days.
Yeah, no, but that was it. And it's funny because kids can make a layup and they can shoot a 3, but none of them can shoot a 15-foot pull-up, you know, that kind of, which is odd. But I think that's what's kind of changes is, you know, coaches are innovative, they're creative, and they figure a way to utilize whatever avenue they can to be successful. And so I think it's just allowed some different styles of play. So you don't have to pass it 12 times, you know, before you shoot the ball. However, I'm coming to high school for the first time where there isn't a shot clock. And so there is a different adjustment to that. And I'll let you know how that goes.
I have not personally ever seen at high school level or college level where people hold the ball. And I've never seen anybody do that successfully. Well, and he'll be mad at me, but I saw one example that maybe I would say. So when Jim's son Micah was a senior and we were playing St. Michael's in the state championship, we were ahead by quite a few points and we held the ball. And I could see Ron Geyer about ready to just blow a cork he was so frustrated that his kids couldn't get the ball. So that might have been a great example. But I've also seen, a great Rio Grande team with a young man named Serge who had 40 points, I believe, in the first half. And then Ron Garcia held the ball, and they end up losing the state championship. That's just one example. I don't want to criticize Ron. He got his teams to the state tournament all the time. So, but I see that in college all the time. And I don't really see Hope, Jim, holding the ball. You guys are always attacking.
For the most part, I think it's true. We want to be aggressive, but, you know, I'm a pragmatist. Whatever works, you know. I hate playing zone, but if zone works, I'll play zone. You know, I like playing man-to-man. But, you know, that example with Ron Geyer, he was notorious as a 2-3 zone guy, and he was so good at it. And he would slow the tempo down, and we wanted to get him out of it. And so, you know, it's all about strategy. We wanted to get him out of his zone, and he wouldn't come out of it, even though we had the lead. And so we took a lot of boos in the pit and so forth, but it was kind of poetic justice because the year before they had beat us at a kind of a controversial situation with the clock. And so, of course, I had my youngest son was on that team. So it was nice to win that. But Ron Geyer was a great coach, both at Alamogordo, winning some state championships, and then at St. Mike's. And you know, that 2-3 zone is like Syracuse's, you know, that's what they do. And you want to sometimes take a team out of what they do really well.
Yeah. Brian was just talking about the shot clock, Lon. Do you think having old school, you can hold the ball as long as you want in high school is a good thing?
Well, it just gives you another tool. But, you know, Brian, I'll tell you, I've got a couple of guys on JV fit right in with it. Well, they won't make you miss that shot clock.
if it's
one pass like and a shot, yeah, that's quite a bit.
I can tell you that.
So
yeah, that's a good point.
But I am old school. And it's funny you say that there's some kids that I've coached for a long time. And there's one in particular, we have a lot of hope for this young man. And I didn't let them shoot when they were 5, 6, 7, and 8. I've had them for a long time because I didn't want them chucking the ball up. And then now we're having trouble getting this one guy to shoot threes, and he's wide open. They're leaving him wide open, and he's a great shot, one of our smartest players.
Yeah.
And you know, being old school, I mean, we just have to adapt. And it's like coach, you know, pragmatist. I don't know those big words, but it just means that we're going to do whatever works, you know. If we have to hold the ball, and coach held the ball in the pit a lot more than once, I'll tell you that right now.
Yeah.
That's you know, he's won 2 or 3 state championships while we sat there eating popcorn waiting for the other team to react. But that's just part of being a great coach. You know, that's just part of the X's and O's and the chess of the whole game.
And I really appreciate that old school stuff too. I don't think I don't understand the 3-point line and how to coach it. Because back in my days, those were bad shots. When we were playing, if you shot a ball from 23 feet away, I was over at Hope the other day, and the kids are shooting from the logo. And I'm like, oh, man, how do you even see the basket from the logo? But they're making these shots.
They're not as old as us.
Yeah, that's true. We are in studio with Brian Joyce, Jim Murphy, and Lon Perry talking about the fact that sports is back, and we're going to have a lot more with these gentlemen. Stay with us on ABQ Connect. We'll be right back.
It's morning in Canton, Ohio. Joe McDermott is thirsty. He gets up from his easy chair and walks 20 feet to the kitchen. He turns on the faucet and fills up his glass. 8,000 miles away, Mahika walks barefoot for 3 miles to fill her clay jug with water. Problem is, this water is contaminated. The people of Mahika's village suffer from disease. Some die, but this is their only source of water. Joe, if you're listening, for just $30, Gospel Phrasia can provide a biosand water filter for Mahika and her family. This device makes water 98% pure. Or you can donate a Jesus well for her village, bringing clean water to 300 people. Joe, we hope you're listening, because people like Mahika are counting on you. Give the gift of life, the gift of water, and point the way to the living water through Gospel Phrasia. Thanks, Joe. Call 855-572-4628 or go to knkt.com and click the Gospel for Asia banner.
The most important information anyone can receive comes from an understanding of the Bible. Only here do we find direct revelation about all things, about life and relationship with God. Life doesn't always provide us with time or opportunity to break away and study the Bible full time. That's why KNKT is dedicated to presenting round-the-clock teaching by some of the best communicators we can find about Scripture and how it relates to our lives. We need to be exposed to the full counsel of God's Word. And now, now, KNKT presents a Bible School of the Air. Each Saturday, starting at 9 a.m., KNKT will present Through the Bible, verse-by-verse teachings by Chuck Smith and Chuck Missler. Skip Heitzig, followed by a question-and-answer session with Scott Richards. We'll be rotating through the Old and New Testament, so drop into our Bible journey at any time and go through the entire Word of God with us. The KNKT Bible School of the Air. Tuition is free. The rewards are eternal. Take your seat Saturdays at 9 a.m. on 107.1 FM.
On KNKT, this is ABQ Connect with Jim Williams.
Holly and Dave Slade and their team at Dave Slade and Associates Realtors are sponsors of the programming on KNKT and our show, ABQ Connect. Call Holly or Dave at 342-8100 when you first start thinking about selling your home or buying a new one. Holly and Dave Slade at Dave Slade and Associates, doing business by the book, 342-8100, or reach them on the web at abqhomeseeker.com. In the studio with athletic director and boys basketball coach at Hope Christian School, Jim Murphy, his assistant, Lon Perry, and Brian Joyce, the new head coach at La Cueva High School. Gentlemen, I'm so glad you could stay with us the whole hour. Jim, a lot of people may not realize that I know all three of your programs, and Brian hasn't had a chance yet to do this at La Cueva, but it's been common for all the programs, pretty much basketball players, and basketball's going on all year round. Are you anticipating an off season this summer that's going to be similar to what you've had in the past?
I sure hope so. I mean, our senior group this year, they missed out. Season started, stopped last year. We had our last game in the pit against Valley in the semifinals, no fans, and that was it. And, you know, normally we encourage our kids to get involved in spring AAU if they're not doing a spring sport. And so a lot of our kids play, you know, in a lot of the tournaments here in town. It's kind of a fundraiser for a lot of the schools. And so they play probably about 10 weeks in the spring. And then we go to our summer program and we do, you know, we have our own camp, but we also, you know, go to different camps, you know, Lobo camp. We've gone to Las Vegas and played in some of the big tournaments there. So we've taken our kids to a lot of different places and they didn't get to do any of that this year. So we're hoping we get back. Unfortunately, the NMA season for spring is going to go all the way into June 25th, 26th. The track meets and baseball and softball are going to be into that. So, you know, a couple of kids will have some conflicts there. And normally basketball is a lot in June and then sometimes in July, you know, some of the kids that do football kind of do some of those things. So I hope we have a normal thing. And I know Coach Lon and I talked about it. We're going to try to probably, if we have to go somewhere where we don't have to wear a mask to play, I think we're going to try to find a state that might let us play without a mask. You know, I know myself, it's hard exercising with masks, but we're glad to do what we can do to play.
Well, and there's more and more data coming out that it might not be that great for you to compete with, you know, may not be healthy. But, you know, I'm not faulting anybody for requiring masks and different things. I mean, none of us know what the protocols are, and hopefully there's going to be actual, true scientific data that comes out instead of just these erroneous claims that we keep hearing from the governor's office. I get to say that because I'm the host. You know, we were teasing a little bit earlier, but I do have concerns. I didn't realize that Michelle Lujan Grisham went to New Mexico State with Lon Perry.
St. Mike's also. I don't know about state, but I know she went to St. Mike's.
Okay. Did
yeah.
she?
Okay. Yeah, that's where I didn't know her. Like I said to you guys, I think she must have been smart, and I was, you know, I hung out with different guys.
So I'm joking around, but the truth is that myself and a lot of people here at Calvary Church, we pray for our governor, and we pray for her all the time. So we want her to be successful. We want her to lead us. Anytime anybody says anything, and I learned this from Jim Murphy, he told me for probably the last 15 or 20 years that the anger of a man does not achieve the righteousness of God. Now, I didn't start listening till about 5 years ago. So I wasted a lot of time yelling at the officials. And I call people now that are, you know, the governor's the governor because the God's made her, God has made her the governor. And we can keep yelling at him about it, but she is the governor. So we need to pray. We need to try to do the best we can do with what she gives us. And I have no problem with people giving us a vision. You guys came on the show, and I put a quote on Facebook that Jim said about returning to sports. He said, look, let the coaches that want to coach, coach, and let the players that want to play, play. That was a simple solution, and I think that's really what's happening. I think APS has been affected by many different things. They have a new superintendent, Scott Elder, and I want to wish him the best as well. I don't want to offer any criticism to him, you know, give him a shot. But we are last in education in this country as a state. You know, we're number 50. That needs to change. And that's largely going to be led by the Albuquerque public schools. Now, on the other hand, our private schools are not in that situation. And there's no question that we can all get better. I asked Terry Heise, who's the head of school at Hope. I said, Terry, would you guys be willing to share with APS the best practices that you've deployed this year? Because you're one of the few schools that's been open. And he said, absolutely. You know, there's no selfishness in this community. It's a situation where we can help each other and we can get things done. And I'm so excited that we get to bounce a ball together. We get to run together. I actually am envisioning, when you just told me, Jim, that the sports are going to go into June, I think that's cool. It'll be 100 degrees, so the parents are going to get gassed, but that's going to be tough. Lon, you mentioned earlier that you have a couple athletes playing soccer and playing basketball. Tell me how the parents are feeling right now about kids returning to sports. Is it a big relief to them?
Well, it's just like I said, you know, I'm a parent also, you know, and of course my wife. So, and my son's sister is a avid rabid fan. But as far as what they're feeling returning to the game, it's just everybody just can't wait. You know, we've been able to watch our son play a couple of soccer games. Like I said, we sat out in a blizzard last night watching him play. And we know he doesn't, you know, I don't tell Coach Kakula says, Coach, but, you know, it isn't his favorite sport. It isn't what he really wants to do, but he's doing it. As parents, we're just like, let's go. You know, yeah. I mean, it's just so much fun to see. And there's a whole new level of respect and just enjoyment. It used to be kind of, you know, you had a bunch of games, you had a 20 game schedule, and you would look at it and you'd say, all right, we got a game next week, got a game this week, get a game. Now it's like, thank God we have a game. Let's get there and, you know, and let's enjoy it a little bit more, because it was something that was taken away from us. So it's, you know, that old adage, you know, you don't know what you miss until it's gone. It's beautiful. You know, we were laughing at him all night last night. Yeah, I didn't want him to get hurt, but he was sliding around in that snow and he was freezing to death. We sat in the car and watched from the car and sipped hot chocolate. But it was just a joy, you know, to see your son and other people's sons out there. Cause as coaches, we know what they're going through. I mean, we talk to them every day in practice and they're just these little doe-eyed kids and they're hopeful, when we're going to get to play. You know, and I got to commend Coach. He's done a great job. Whenever we talk to the boys, sometimes, you know, my spirits are low because I'm listening to the news and I'm listening to the governor and, I'm thinking, oh, you know, are we really going to get to play? And Coach Murphy's done a great job. He'll walk in with the same news and he'll just say, hey guys, I'm looking forward to it. I know we're going to play and you gotta just understand how special it is, you know, and we can't wait to get on the court as coaches, but as the kids, are you kidding me? They just, yeah. It is going to be a celebration when they get on the court. I don't think they're going to care about the masks and a no jump ball rule that they came up with, because you catch COVID if you have a jump ball now in basketball. things like that.
Let me guess, there's science that proves that, right?
I don't know.
Brian, I want you to give us the highlights about the La Cueva basketball team. What should we expect this year?
That we will show up. I mean, I'm thinking about what Coach is saying, just about being excited to get the guys back. One of the things I keep telling our guys is how impressed I am with the fact that they would just show up, not knowing what was going to happen. And I think about me, I was a gym rat, and everybody knew that. And so they would assume that somebody like me would be so committed to the game that I would definitely show up. But I don't know. I would have showed up to work out, but I don't know if I'd have shown up not knowing if I was going to have a season. And so I've told these guys, I said, you guys have a testimony and you guys have character that's being built through your decision just to show up. Not even knowing the outcome, but sometimes your job's like that. Sometimes life's like that. You just have to show up. Be there, be available, do your best, not knowing the outcome, not knowing, you know, what kind of rewards you're going to get. But the guys who've done that and stuck it out, I've told them over and over, and I got emotional at one of the points where I just said, I don't know if I'd have done it. I mean, I would like to think that I would, but they're approaching something, you know, that none of us have ever dealt with. Their parents can't give them experience. We can't look in the handbook, like I said earlier, and yet they still showed up.
Well, see, I can answer that question for you because I've been around a really long time, and you had a super fan in your life, your grandfather, Frank Joyce.
Oh, no question.
And if you decided you weren't going to be in the gym, he'd have grabbed you by the neck and thrown you in the gym.
Well, and he was strong enough and big enough to do that. There's no question.
Former Alabama football player.
Right.
Longtime broadcaster here in New Mexico.
Yes, sir.
I remember seeing him all the time. He had this great voice.
Absolutely. We talked about my grandpa would take over the room, and he spoke like one decibel above your ability to ignore him. So, and my grandma heard him obviously forever. And so it didn't matter if you were having a conversation in the other room. If he was out, you know, in the lobby right now, I'd be talking to my daughter Reagan, and it'd be just loud enough that we couldn't ignore it. But it was just him. He was just very unique in that way, and he was special in that way. And, you know, was a great influence on me. And you're right. I mean, I think that there is something to, I don't know if I could have done it as I look back on it, but I know I had people around me, my coaches, my assistant coaches, mentors that would have pushed me there. But I think that that's a good, I just can't convey that to the guys because it didn't happen, but they've legitimately done that. Mm. They've shown up not knowing. And I said, I appreciate that. And we've showed up. We don't know if we're going to coach three guys on one day or 11 or 14 or no practice. I mean, we have no idea. So even with the pods, we'll have four coaches show up and there'll be three people.
Yeah.
And that's been a huge.
Do you think the kids are taking responsibility to keep themselves safe, isolated from possibly catching COVID?
That's where I would tell you, I don't know that the kids have changed. Okay. I think it's kids are kids. I think that they're resilient in that way. And I think they're probably more aware of some things than we were and sensitive to some things potentially. But I think kids just operate, you know, the way they operate. And I think that's one of the confusing parts. My wife Tina jokes about this all the time. We're watching college teams and pro teams. And so here they are 6 feet apart on the sideline. They just came out of a game where they were face to face, right? And then they get out, space, put a mask on, and now everything's okay. And then once the game's over, they're all going to walk to the same locker room, walk down the same hall, get on the same bus together. But if we have this visual appeal that when they come out, we're spaced. And I'm just, all I keep thinking about, because I always think about this, the managers and graduate assistants and all these support staff, they're the ones who set that stuff up. So they had to set up 7 coolers instead of 1. They had to set up all these chairs apart from me. And I'm just looking at that going, like you said, what's the science behind that? And then there cannot be anything that distinguishes you coming out of the game and separating is takes away from the fact that you were in the game, but that's a whole other issue. So I think that they will do it at the level that's necessary. And we're trying to, they're encouraging us. We're trying to force that. You're trying to force them to put on a mask and encourage them to do it. And we really are, while I'm also struggling to keep mine, you know, on at the same time. And the thing that I think that I don't like about the mask beyond, you know, the frustration with is you don't have the same interaction with the kids because you're so used to reading body language and facial expressions. They're used to reaching you. And I tend to be, as my wife says, really intense anyways. So if I look intense without a mask on and without a hat on or something, and now I put a mask on and all you see is my eyes, well, they don't know if I'm intense, mad, frustrated, anything. So sometimes I got to take it down and just say, hey, I'm not mad. I'm just frustrated with what's going on. Let's move this thing forward. But it is what it is.
Yeah.
You know, you just have to work through it.
Jim, put on your athletic director hat and think about the athletes in every sport that you're overseeing. Are you concerned at all about the level of conditioning and being able to prevent injuries?
Maybe to an extent, but we have had the opportunity to continue to work in these pods. And, you know, there's only so much you can do. So we've had done some conditioning. You know, our football team, they've been doing this since August. You know, of course we've been in school, and so we've had more contact with our kids than most schools. So, I don't think so. I think, you know, the danger may be, you know, these seasons are overlapping, you know, playing two games, trying to go to two practices, you know, that can be tough. And when you're trying to go to school full time. So, I mean, those type of things could happen. But the biggest thing, you know, I mean, I kind of jump back, I just feel for these kids. Last Saturday we have one senior girl in volleyball, And so they did a senior appreciation, and they did it outside in the parking lot, and they drove through, and they had flowers and picture of her and so forth. And then I read about the Lobo women, you know, two seniors, senior night. You know, you only have those occasions once in a lifetime. And, you know, here's a 14,000 seat pit, and you can't let the parents come to watch, you know, those two seniors who play in their last game. So my heart just goes out to these kids and the parents that, because it's like I said, it's one, you know, all of us, you know, we had experiences in high school and we'll never get those back. And some of these kids are losing that. And I'm just glad NMAA, I'm glad, things have opened up that we're getting a chance maybe to experience somewhat of a season this year, but it's been hard. It's been a hard year for a lot of, you know, businesses, everybody in our world, but I feel for these kids because they're only high school kids once and these parents only have their kids, you know, your boy or daughter graduate once and all the things that come with that experience. Some of them have lost it.
Brian Joyce, Lon Perry, Jim Murphy in studio with me. These three gentlemen are coaching basketball. Jim has the additional job of overseeing a bunch of sports at Hope as their athletic director. We're going to have one more segment with them. We'll be right back after these messages.
With a biblical look at your money, here's Rob West.
It's difficult to say what's the most regrettable financial decision. Investing with Bernie Madoff comes to mind, but co-signing a loan is a close second. The Bible warns never to do it. Proverbs 17 says, "One who lacks sense gives a pledge and puts up security in the presence of his neighbor." Getting stuck paying off someone else's loan is bad enough, but it stings even more if it's family or a friend who's put you in that position. You have a couple of options. Neither is great. You can try refinancing. The primary signer may now qualify for a loan without your help if the outstanding balance is lower. Or offer an incentive to the primary signer, like matching payments. You'll still end up paying half, but that's better than all of it.
Listen to this hotspot as Skip Heitzig shares a lesson about owning your faith.
So he is mentored by this priest. He becomes king himself. Joash, Jehoash. So now you have a politician with a godly background. He does what is right in the sight of the Lord.
The story doesn't end there.
But his righteousness only lasts while his mentor lasts. When his mentor dies, when the priest dies, he starts taking on the values of the people around him.
Find more from Skip at connectwithskip.com.
If your faith is only propped up by others, you will stumble when those props are gone.
Now this from Skip about deep roots.
You need to come to a place where you build your own roots, man, and you stand before God yourself, man or woman of God, and you are getting the strength directly from the Holy Spirit so that when they die or if they fall or something happens, your faith is not shaken. Your faith is not shaken.
You're listening to KNKT. Welcome back to ABQ Connect with Jim Williams.
We are back on ABQ Connect. I want to remind our listeners that this month our great mission is with Gospel for Asia World, and they are providing Jesus wells. They're providing clean water to people all around the world, South Asia, now in Africa. And a Jesus well costs about $1,400. So you may not be able to donate that much money, but you might be able to donate a portion of it. And let me tell you what that does. An entire community is literally provided with clean water. So there are no waterborne diseases rampaging through a particular population. We had a chance to talk with KP Yohannan a couple of times this year already, and KP has said, look, starvation and the lack of clean water is 95% bigger problem than COVID. And he's absolutely right. So if you can help, go to knkt.com. Click on the banner for GFA World. That's Gospel for Asia World. They're now ministering not just in South Asia, but all over the world and doing some spectacular things. So I wanted to mention that. We are talking about something that's so fun to all of us. Just fun. Just being involved in basketball. But I'm now my fun is teasing you guys. Now, I don't know Brian's wife, but I'm going to get to know Brian's wife. In fact, I'm going to bring your wives on the show.
Oh, my gosh.
Just to ask them, because here's what I want to know.
She will drive down here right now. My wife is Tina. She would love to give her input.
Well, here's the question. So Jim's married to Angela, and Lon's married to Alicia. Those two women, And now they're going to be joined by Brian. They should be doing an annual conference on being successfully married to OCD basketball coaches. Are you guys thankful for those women?
Wow, what else can you say?
Yeah, of course we are. I mean, our wives are fairly good friends too, and we've ended up traveling together, and they've had to put up with us. You know, we've gone to a couple of clinics together, and
okay, but we got to really paint the picture here. Yeah. You guys are playing basketball, and I don't know this about Brian, so I can't pick on him.
We're going to start inviting him as soon as we open.
All right,
the gym.
You guys are playing in a tournament, at least three weekends a month, all year long. You guys are watching film, you're practicing, you have all these different things going on. Now, I see how you got away with it. Maybe Lon's getting away with it because he's coaching his son, so that's kind of an excuse. But I got to tell you, your wives, you know, Jim, Angela, 39 years.
Yeah, I told her to listen today, so, honey, I love you, and you're awesome. Thank you for all the... God calls us to do some coaching, but you know, he calls a couple, he calls a family, because it is an investment. You know, my wife not only is been supportive of all the time that you put in coaching and being away from the house, but you know, she'll come to the games and be supportive, and you know, coaching is the one occupation where you do get criticized a lot. You know, I don't hear everyone go to a dentist and say, "Hey, you're pulling the wrong tooth," you know, but they'll sit up in the stands and say, you know, "Coach, you're doing the wrong things." And I told my wife, you know, don't sit by certain people, but you know, for the most part, it's tough being a coach's wife, but she's been great. They've been very supportive. I've had the privilege of having four kids that all, you know, I don't know if I forced them to play basketball or not, but they also played. And she doesn't follow the games quite as much, but you know, I played in my day when we first got married. I was trying to play in all these city leagues, you know, everywhere around the town. And she's been very supportive. Luckily, she
playing in a tournament right after your wedding ceremony?
Well, we played the night before my wedding, but actually, the story is my first son was born, and Josh was born, and we left Presbyterian Hospital, but I had a City League game at Dennis Chavez Community Center, and my excuse was, hey, I want to show the baby off to everybody, but I really wanted to play in a game, so I got there. And, you know, I think Lance Milford was on the team, and we played a game down at Dennis Chavez before my wife even got home, so she's a trooper, and you know, I thank the Lord for her support all these years.
Lon, what do you think the most important thing is that you teach or you have taught your players through sports that's helped them out in their lives?
Well, there's a lot of things. And I want to make Brian a little envious right now, because we get to coach at Hope Christian. And so we get to pray with the boys. Mm-hmm. And we really, you get to really deep dive with them. And I got a really good story for you, maybe off the air sometime, about La Cueva, about a girl, you know, Brian. But for us, it's just, you really get to dive deep with them, and you get to know them a lot. But I think something that I always tell my kids, and I tell a lot of other fathers, I said, my number one job is to get my kids to heaven. And that's, I take that real serious. I mean, and I think about that all the time. And I told my team that the other day, and I said, you know, guys, you're right there. You're my sons too. And I tell them it's very important that I get you to heaven. Maybe not so much to get you to, I tell them it's important to get them to varsity, but for me, it's to get them to heaven and for them to do the right things. And, you know, I could tell you stories and stories. I remember one young man last year, he was walking down the hall and he kind of let a word slip. I grabbed him quickly and pulled him into the office and gave him a 20-minute lecture. And that was one of the things he was most thankful for, Dusty. You know, he was one of the ones that was most thankful for. He says, I've never had anybody yell at me like that just for slipping that word. He says, but I'm going to do my best never to do that again. I just think that if we treat them like our sons, then we're going to treat them really important, and they're going to end up at least maybe taking something with them as they get older. You know, if they say that was important to my coach and he pounded into me every day, maybe my language, maybe the way I treat others, you know, maybe a lot of different things. Maybe they're going to grow up and then treat their sons the same way. And mm-hmm. It's like when you watch a coach, you know, I haven't seen Brian coach, but he said he looks pretty feisty. And I can imagine his team is going to be very feisty. And I know Coach Murphy is feisty. And those teams are going to be feisty. So, you know, they're a reflection of their coach. So hopefully, as they grow older, we're going to have great young men coming out of our program.
Yeah. Brian, do you have a most cherished memory about being a La Cueva basketball player you could share with us?
I don't know that I have an individual memory. I just think, you know, as you grow older, you get, you know, reflective and you're thankful for the journey. And I think I'm more thankful for the journey because I have a different lens to look back at that experience. Because at the time, you know, you're pretty self-focused and, you know, team-driven and that kind of thing. So, I loved when we won state, but I also loved when, you know, I was a freshman, not knowing if you're going to make the team. You know, I look back on those experiences because you can always look at, here's what I accomplished, but you kind of forget that at some point you were like everybody else trying to figure it out. And so, you know, I'm just thankful for my coaches along the way and the experience and the players that I got to experience and do life with at that time. And I think God puts all these people in your life at different times in your life to grow you, and you can experience them and they can experience you and grow from there. So I don't know that one experience necessarily does it. I mean, obviously my senior year, I broke both my wrists, you know, before I, you know, for the state tournament. And so, you know, there's certain things that people remember about you or when we won state, they remember that or an experience. But I think for me, it was really more about the journey than it was about one experience.
All three of you have that in common, that you've all been state champions. And that's actually a pretty small club when you compare the number of athletes that have not won the state tournament or coached and won a state tournament.
Well, I have zero as a coach. So they're ahead of me. Coach Castillo's ahead of me. So I have people who say that to me. Hey, well, you're a college coach. Hey, I said, Coach Castillo's the one, you know, who built this program. It wasn't me. Coach Murphy and
Brian, it's going to take you a while to catch Coach
Murphy.
Oh,
no. I'm not going to catch Coach Castillo, probably Coach Murphy, you know, Coach Perry. They've been doing a lot longer than I have. So, even though you've won one, I told our guys, hey, we're at zero. We're trying to start out together and do something and coach establish that tradition. And we're going to be thankful that if we somehow do that, it's built upon, you know, a solid foundation.
Yeah. Jim, how do you teach aggressive play, physical play, and teach Christian love at the same time in the same person?
Well, you know, I know I got to talk with Brian, Coach Joyce, when he first moved back here. We went to church together a little bit and got to know him. He told me his testimony, and Coach Lon, like I said, for many years. And it's a platform we have as coaches. And, you know, I wish I could sing. I wish I could play the guitar, but God gave us a passion for what we do, and we love the game of basketball. But yet it could be a tool to reach young people and to share our faith with them. And I think I told you last time on the show, you know, my favorite football player was Jeff Seaman, who was a middle linebacker for the Minnesota Vikings. And he was a strong believer. And he said, you know, how can you as a Christian, your job is to go take the head of the quarterback off every play. He goes, well, the same intensity I have to take the head of the quarterback off, when the play's over, I can reach down with the same intensity and pick him off the floor or off the field. And, you know, I think that's a testimony. I mean, Colossians 3:23 says, do whatever you do, do it heartily unto the Lord. And, you know, you want to be passionate. You want to do everything to your best, not for man, but for God. And so Carson Wentz talked about playing for the audience of one. You know, that's athletes in action thing. So I think as a Christian, yeah, God wants us to do excellence. He wants us to play hard. He wants us to do everything we can within the rules. But you're going to be a competitor. And yet at the same time, I think you can show great sportsmanship during the game as well as after the game and be a good witness. And sometimes, you know, competition brings out the worst in people and can bring out the best in people. And hopefully we can be a good witness as a team. That's what our goal is every year, to be a good witness as a team. Of course, we want to win games, but let's be a good witness to the teams we play and to our community.
We have seconds left. Tell us your biggest prayer about this. Is it to keep people healthy and safe so you can get through the season?
Yeah, I mean, I pray, I guess, that these seniors will get a chance to play. The kids will get a chance to play this year. But, you know, maybe our country, whatever, this COVID, God, you know, God's in control. And maybe there's something that is more important to God right now. And what lessons can we learn through this pandemic?
Brian, Jim, and Lon, thank you for joining me today. I appreciate it.
It's been a privilege. Thank you.
Thanks. Thanks, Jim.
Connect is presented by Bosky Heating and Cooling. For service, call 504-444-7200. Bosky Heating and Cooling. Locally grown, locally owned. ABQ Connect with Jim Williams is a production of KNKT. The views expressed on ABQ Connect do not necessarily reflect the views of the staff or management of KNKT. If you missed any or part of today's show, get the free podcast at abqconnect.online.